Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning and happy to be here. And we have seen many visitors here this morning. Just want to welcome you, each of you. Happy to have you with us and to worship with us this morning too. Also, I wanted to take this time. I have been negligent in doing this. I know that at church campout you gave our family cards and letters and gift certificates and little money things and a lot of kind messages. I want to thank you for that. That means something to us, and it makes us feel loved and cared for. And you, as a church, I know that we receive that from you undeservedly, and we hope that God is as happy with us as you seem to be. But thank you so much for your kindness and all of that. This morning, I want to share about contentment. And I've preached this message before, but I have revised it a little today. And I'm not preaching so much because of out of a lack of subjects to preach about. Again, I feel that this is a subject that should be reminded, that we should be reminded of you know, more than once every 10 years, maybe every 2 or 3 years, it's good to be reminded of contentment. You know, I feel that we need to be reminded too because of the materialistic mindset that seems to be out of control in our world. You know, everybody is so materialistic, and I feel that we see so much discontentment within the church. And why? And we see a lack of contentment among Christian people. I can understand it, the world feeling discontent, but it shouldn't be that way for Christian people. And if we, Christian people, we have so much that I wonder if we struggle in being thankful enough. Even Christian people struggle with being greedy and selfish and ungrateful, and which that is what breeds discontentment. So this morning, I want us to look at our own hearts. And encourage each of us to be content in our personal lives. And then first, I should say, and then hope that as each of us are willing to look at our personal lives to be content, make that choice, that will spread out into a collective group. And we as a group can be looked at as having contentment among ourselves as a group. But really want to challenge us to consider our own personal hearts first, not look around and point out fingers to people that we know are discontent, but look at our hearts first, number one. You know, I struggle at times with worry and anxiety, and I believe it's because I'm not content. Maybe as a way to explain to explain how we are discontent in a small way, look at my own life a little bit, not to glorify it, but to maybe show you how weak I really am. You know, when I have my morning devotions, I get up in the morning and I want to read my Bible and I want to pray. But I have a smartphone, and you know, that smartphone can distract me from my personal devotions I can look at it's there. I can look at my emails. I can look at Facebook. I can look at what's on Craigslist. I can, you know, so many things that will distract me from actually kneeling and praying and reading my Bible right at that very first thought. And then when I do read my Bible, you know, there are so many other things that want to distract me. Maybe I'm thinking about work. Maybe I'm thinking about I need a cup of coffee or something. You know, it's just all these things. And I'm not against you having coffee with your devotions. I'm just saying that they become distractions to us. And I'm not content just to sit down and read the Bible and meditate on the Bible. I have so much there. And it seems to me that one of the reasons why we struggle with being content is because we have too many options and too many distractions. Smartphones are nice, and we use them, we need them, but we should be careful that they do not sidetrack us from pursuing God. To be content with what's going on in my personal life, I have to temporarily, I have to clear my mind and heart of all the distractions and responsibilities that I have or that are distracting me. Need to remove myself away from those and try to think about what God has done for me. You know, we train our soldiers in our country, in a lot of countries. They train soldiers who are on duty. When they are away from home in another country, they're trained not to think about home, but think only of being fully available, whatever their duty is calling them. And I've noticed that in my life, that if I'm doing a job when I'm at work and I have other things that are distracting me, I cannot do the duty I'm needing to do properly. I'm distracted. And so I want to relate that to us being content. We need to pull all that stuff away that distracts us and be content, make that decision. I use the example of my devotional time. But if we look at the bigger picture of our life, I think we will find that all the options and distractions we have in our lives tempt us to be dissatisfied. They create a spirit of dissatisfaction in our own hearts. And there's a little saying that says, discontentment makes rich men poor, while contentment makes poor men rich. And there is a little story I found, and I don't know who wrote this story or if it's fiction just to bring out a point or what. But a rich business person was disturbed when he found a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Because I've caught enough fish today," said the fisherman. "Why don't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. "What could I do with them?" the fisherman asked. "You could earn more money," came the impatient reply, "and buy a better boat so that you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, and make more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me." The fisherman asked, "Then what would I do?" "You could sit down and enjoy life," said the rich man. "What do you think I'm doing now?" said the fisherman, replied as he looked out to the sea. You know, I think that's a little bit the cycle we get into, isn't it? When we're discontent with our life, we are actually believing a lie. And there is also another aspect of contentment that we deal with, I want to talk about too. And that is when we compare ourselves with other people or compare what we have to what other people have, it causes us to become discontent. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Why can't we be content with where God has us in our life or by what God has given us? And that's the question that we want to look at this morning. You may turn with me, if you want to 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to read six verses from 1 Timothy. They're very familiar verses, and they go really along a lot about what we're talking about this morning. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, we'll start. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I'm going to stop there. But just to paraphrase what this is saying, true gain, or to be rich, is to be saved and thankful for what God has done for you. That's how simple it is. And it's just realizing that every day, that God has really, just realizing that and accepting that. We came into the world with nothing, and we're not going to take anything with us when we die. A true Christian should be content with having our needs fulfilled, not desiring to have more than what we need. And when we covet and we desire to be rich, this scripture is saying that we fall into the devil, a snare of the devil, and we could lose our faith in Jesus because of it. We need to be careful, is what this scripture is saying. To love money and desire to be rich, that's the root where all evil comes from. When we love money, we love what money does for us, what it makes us feel like, and we desire to be rich. That causes a lot of grief in our lives. And all evil that is available to participate in grows up from that root of loving money. And, you know, you can't really get around this, but being discontent is sin. And that's, we don't look at it that way sometimes, but I believe that's very sobering to realize that it is sin. Christian people should do all that we can do to be a good Christian. Don't try to live a Christian life halfway or just what we can get by with. Live a strong Christian life. Be righteous, godly, have faith, love, patience, and meekness. And then it says here that discontentment will eventually starve you spiritually. It will make you very weak in your Christian life until you could lose out in your faith. So I believe that's what this scripture is saying, if we paraphrase it. It's a very sobering scripture when we hear it like that. There is a minor issue that we at many times feel confused about that I want to clarify. We preach contentment, and the Bible teaches contentment, and at the same time we say we should not be content with the growth in our Christian walk, because our Christian walk is always in need of improvement. Therefore, we don't want to be content with the life that lacks improvement. And I just want to clarify that what we need to remember is the word contentment should not be used in our judgment of spirituality or our assessment of our own character. I think the word contentment is commonly used or commonly associated with money, possessions, or even our circumstances. And I think it's good to remember that we don't use the word contentment when we're looking at our hearts, our Christian growth, our walk with Jesus. That word doesn't really fit. It's not relevant. Remember that contentment has to do with accepting our circumstances regardless what they are. And contentment isn't being satisfied with how much we have grown spiritually. I'd also like to read from Philippians 4. I'll just turn there quickly here. I'm going to read verse 10 through 13. It says, "But I rejoice in the," excuse me here, make sure I got the right place, I do. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has," I'm sorry, I still don't have the right place here. I do. I'm sorry, I just looked at that and didn't look right. Okay, "but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. For I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer, need. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I'll stop there. So Paul is saying in this passage that we can be content regardless what is going on in our lives at the current time. We don't have to be grouchy when things are going bad. Christians should be content when we have little or we have much. And Paul says that he can be happy. He said he was victorious at this. He can be happy when things are bad or when things are good. So basically, I think Paul is just saying to us that contentment is a choice. Have you noticed that some of us, I know I do, I don't hope you do, but I'd say you probably do, that we struggle with being happy and content at times, even when everything is good. And everything is basically okay around us, but we still struggle being happy because we just want something more. Paul's also saying, you know, contentment is based only on our own decision to be content. That is all we have to do. We have to decide to be content. Just make that decision to be content. That's what you need to do. That's what I have to do. You know, some years ago there was a slogan that said, say no to drugs. And I was thinking, we need to say no to discontentment. Just say no to it. I know there's more to it than that, but that's the first step that we have to do. I'd like to talk about a little bit about results of being discontent. One of the results of being discontent is debt. There's a lot of debt in the church, among Christian people, among the whole world, because people are discontent. And you might think that's a little bit awkward for me to be saying that. I've had debt myself, too, and because of that, maybe you won't want to accept the statement, but I agree with you that you may be arguing with me, but I just want you to know that, you know, you should go home and just look at that. Think about that. I don't want to make it as a blanket statement. But rather, I will let each of you see it different. If you see it different, you know, go home and justify the debt that you have or might have. And ask yourself if borrowing the money did you borrow that money because you were content or with what you already had? I do not say this to cause contention or argument. That's not my point, or who's right or who's wrong. I think that there are some reasons that a person can borrow money, but I don't think that there there's not very many good reasons. So I wanted to encourage us that have debt to go home and pay those off as soon as we can. And people that have no debt, consider this before you get a loan. Make sure you need what you're borrowing before you go get that thing. You know, can you not wait a little longer without it? And I just encourage you with that. I know that's a very practical and maybe seems awkward to hear that, but I believe that. Another result of being discontent is anxiety and lack of peace in your life. A lot of worry comes from a heart of discontentment. The poor person who has nothing is discontented because he wants more, because he desires more, he gets more by hook or crook, and then he worries. And the rich person who has much worries because he might lose all that he has. And I found this, it doesn't say where I found it, it didn't say who wrote it, but it says, no person can ever be happy until he has learned to enjoy what he has and not to worry over what he does not have. I had no shoes and complained until I met a man who had no feet. And this is from Our Daily Bread. It says, as a rule, man's a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. And when it's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what is not. That's from Our Daily Bread. So the fruit of being content, talk about that a little bit now, they have far-reaching effects, and they're very good for us. If you want to have happiness and peace in your life, choose to be content. the people in life, you look around and you look at people around you that have chose to be content, and they're the happy people. Those are the people that are happy. They're genuinely happy. They're not just satisfied and grouchy because they are things aren't going wrong. They choose to be happy with whatever's going on in their life. And there's three rules that I'd like to share. And I think these three rules will ensure that you are content. The first one is, be thankful for what you have, much or little. And remember that God gave it to you. So I'll say that one again. Be thankful for what you have, much or little, and remember that God gave it to you. Number two, accept your circumstances and seek to grow spiritually regardless what your circumstances are. So you have to first accept your circumstances. They are, God has them in your life for a reason. Whether because you're reaping or whatever they are, they're there for a reason. And accept them. And then seek God to grow spiritually, even whatever they are, accept them. And number three, accept thankfully where God has placed you in your life. You know, many times we look at where God has us in our life, and we just don't want to be there. We'd like to be doing something else. We'd like to be be somewhere else besides where God has us right now. But we need to accept, be thankful. Tell God, I'm thankful for where you have me right now, and help me to do the best I can wherever you have me now. Those are three simple rules, but I believe that if you can follow those three rules, that will help you to be content. And I just want to remind us, contentment is a choice that each person has to make, regardless if you have much or little. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you still have to make that decision. Abraham and Lot were two different men. They were relatives. But if you look at their lives, they show a distinct difference and between contentment and being discontent. Just think about it. Abraham was content, and Lot was discontent. Discontentment chose the best and wanted more, and Lot chose the best, and he wanted more. He was discontent. Abraham, he was content. He chose to be content with whatever was left over, trusting that God would take care of him. Lot almost lost his faith. Being discontent, he almost lost his faith. Abraham, being content, was taken care of by God and blessed richly. So the verse we read says that the root of all evil is the love of money. If you love money, you are probably not a content person. That's how simple it is. Because loving money will make you discontent. And I just want to remind us again that being discontent is a sin. So, in closing, I hope this message can be an encouragement to be victorious in each heart, each person making a choice to be content. And I read this too. It says, a contented man is one who enjoys the scenery along the detours. And that spoke to my heart, because when I go on a detour, I don't know how content I'm willing to be. I don't want to be there. So I think that's a good test. I know it's just words, but... So this week, you know, I will probably be tested in some way for sharing this message about being content in my own life. And if you listen this morning and you agree with what I've shared, I think that you also will probably be tested. And so I want to challenge you this week, when we are faced with the test of staying content, to be faithful and choose to be happy while going through that test. Just encourage you to do that, and I'll close with that. I'll leave it open for you to share anything that you'd like to share.
I want to say amen. Necessary in my life, too. I say amen, too.
thankful. Thank you for that, Ed. I think that you have, I think your life has, you went through some fire, and I sometimes see that you have fought the fight good through that fire sometimes, and thank you for that testimony. I want to thank everyone for coming. I believe we'll close at this time, and could we all stand for a closing word of prayer? And Mark Martin, would you lead us in a closing word of prayer?